For bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
Thanks very much, Ollie. Hope you're well. It's Wednesday, the 13th of November 2019. My name is Richie Allen. I'll be with you for the next couple of hours. Two terrific guests lined up for you today, as usual. You can chat to me via Twitter. There's also a new email address. Well, it's a new temporary one. It is therichieallenshow@gmail.com. Therichieallenshow@gmail.com. Welcome to the programme.
Richie Allen.
It's the Richie Allen Show. Broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
Now, you might remember the feminist campaigner Posy Parker coming on the Richie Allen Show about 9 or 10 months ago. She, of course, was interviewed under caution by the police in this country because of her opinion that, well, men are not really women. Yeah, she's become very well known. And earlier today, her Facebook account was deleted, again because of her activism in this area, her pro-woman, pro-female activism. She returns to the programme. We'll have a chat with her this hour. And coming up in the second hour, the scientist and the Professor Emeritus of Geography, Eric T. Carstrom, returns to the Richie Allen Show. I think he's in New Mexico today. And we're going to talk about the wildfires on the Pacific Coast. We're going to talk about 5G, of course, and lots more with Eric T. Carstrom. You know him well. He's been on the programme before. Not for a while, though, and I look forward to reconnecting with him. That is Wednesday's Richie Allen Show, live right now on multiple platforms and richieallen.co.uk. That's the one. That's been a pretty decent day today for yours truly. Pretty decent day. Full day. It's always full. Days are always full. But I'm in good form. Fine fettle. Lots of metal. And let's just jump into it. They're campaigning away, by the way. Those pesky politicians are campaigning away ahead of the election on December 12th. Those pesky politicians. John McDonnell, the shadow chancellor, said if Labour gets in, the four-day week will apply to everybody, will apply to every man, woman and child.
What kind of fuckery is this?
Well, do you know what fuckery it is? If Labour wins the next election, there's going to be 4 Richie Allen shows a week. Just 4, Monday to Thursday. No more Sunday View if Labour forms the next government. And you cannot reduce your monthly donation. I'm only joking, of course. Nigel Farage was sparring with the boxer Derek Chisora. Jeremy Corbyn was in Scotland. Lovely. And Boris Johnson, the incumbent Prime Minister, was in South Yorkshire, where people are dealing with flood damage. It's not funny. The River Don bursting its banks. Boris rocked up into Fish Lake, and the Yorkshire men and the Yorkshire women were none too pleased to meet their Prime Minister.
Took your time, Boris, haven't you?
Yeah. Where you been?
We've been on it round the clock. Is there anything in particular that you'd like us to do, Ted?
No, thank you. No.
We've got everything you need, then.
It's been a real struggle. We've had no authorities helping us, not asking.
I'm very sorry about that.
We didn't know where to start. Yeah. We just used common sense, basically.
I'm not very happy about talking to you, so if you don't mind, I'll just not tell me what I'm doing. Right. If you've not helped us, it's best I don't want you to do something.
I'm not very happy about talking to you because you've not helped us. And Boris just kind of stumbled around looking for somebody, desperate for somebody to smile at him and say, I'm a Tory, I'll talk to you. And the Stop Brexit guy, whose name is Steve Braid, you know that arsehole. The guy whom, when the news agencies are basically ensconced in Parliament Square, so when you've got Kay Burley and when you've got McCoy on the BBC broadcasting from Parliament, the Brexit guy, the Stop Brexit guy, is that idiot who you can hear going, Stop Brexit! Bollocks to Brexit! That's him. He's going to stand for the Liberal Democrats. Yes, he's going to stand for the Liberal Democrats. The Stop Brexit megaphone guy. The impeachment inquiry is underway in the United States of America. The House Intelligence Committee is holding an open hearing as part of the impeachment inquiry. It's a waste of time. It's totally unimportant. It's bullshit. It wouldn't pass the Senate, and it isn't important. If you want to hang Donald Trump, hang him for dropping more bombs on his on innocent civilians than his predecessors, hang him for his lies, hang him for pushing us to the brink of war with Iran, hang him for being the biggest Zionist puppet since forever. But this impeachment thing is a nonsense and it is pure political theatre, so I'm not going to get into it. Hey, speaking of allegations about Russia interference and Russia interfering and all of that, the Chief Secretary to the Treasury, Rishi Sunak, who's a Conservative, obviously, he was on Good Morning Britain this morning and they wanted to ask him, where is this bloody report into alleged Russian interference in UK elections? Rishi, where is it? I'll put my teeth back in and I will join you again shortly. Yes, Rishi Sunak, Chief Secretary to the Treasury, was on Good Morning Britain and they wanted to talk about that very important issue. This shelved report into Russian interference in UK electoral activity. Here he is, Rishi Sunak.
Well, I think it's also incumbent upon the government to make sure that sensitive information is handled appropriately. And the nature of these reports is that they do contain sensitive information, which is why they need to go through an appropriate period of vetting to make sure that they are safe to then be released. That's what's happened here. It was received only towards the end of October. Parliament was dissolved in the first week of November. That didn't give sufficient time for that
but
process
Mr. Sunak,
to clear.
But Mr. Sunak, the chair of the committee, Dominic Grieve, says that it doesn't need weeks. It can be done in a matter of perhaps 10 days. People are concerned about is that there is something political about this delay.
No, not at all. This is procedural. This was discussed in Parliament before Parliament was dissolved. Dominic Grieve is entitled to his view, but there's previous precedent for the length of time that these reports do take to clear the various processes. But I think it's absolutely right to focus on the threat that Russia poses. And when it comes to that threat, presumably, I hope Hillary Clinton was also asked what she thought of when Russia, you know, carried out an attack in our country in Salisbury. We had the leader of the opposition essentially siding with the Russian government in that episode. I think that's very worrying for our national security. You had Emily Thornberry, I think, on your show yesterday, unable to answer a simple question about Jeremy Corbyn using our nuclear deterrent to keep us safe.
What a load of crap, Jeremy Corbyn. Hang him, again hang him for the things he's done. You know, the real things. He didn't side with the Russian government. He refused to believe a crock of shit about Salisbury. And as for Emily Thornberry, this is the world you live in when someone gets criticised for not saying, yes, 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 I will deploy nuclear weapons as soon as I get the chance. Anyway, so this guy is deflecting and deflecting and deflecting about the report into Russian interference. There is no general Russian interference in UK politics. This is about Russian donors, okay? Russian men and women, mostly men, who have donated to the Conservative Party. So Piers Morgan, the co-host of that programme, wanted to dig down into specific donors.
One of the donors mentioned in the report is Alexander Temerko, who has worked for the Kremlin Defence Ministry and gifted more than £1.2 million to Conservatives over 7 years. Who is that guy and what's he been doing?
Piers, I can't comment on leaks from a classified report that I myself haven't seen. There's just
say on Alexander Temerko?
I do know of him, but I can't comment on what a report might or might not say, which is classified.
What has he been expecting in return for his £1.2 million donation?
All donations to the Conservative Party, as you would expect, are rightly disclosed, follow all proper procedure.
But do you feel comfortable?
They're fully transparent and disclosed, okay. online for anybody to see.
Since you're so keen on transparency, do you feel comfortable after the quite obvious way that the Russians attacked the American election in 2016, before, during and after, and are continuing to try and attack the democratic process? Are you happy that the Conservatives have had 9 different donors from Russia?
I'm happy that all proper processes are followed with any donor, wherever they come from, the UK or elsewhere, that they follow proper procedure. Our party follows all the proper procedures. All those donations are disclosed transparently as required by the Electoral Commission.
Yeah,
they are all online.
My question, I'm not suggesting for a moment that Alexander Temerko has done anything wrong. I'm just saying that he has worked for the Kremlin Defence Ministry and he's donating over £1 million to the Conservative Party during a very sensitive period for our country politically. And the inference from many critics, as you know, is that the Russians have been trying to buy influence and indeed operate online influence to try and affect the result of referendums and elections here. It's a matter of massive national interest.
Yeah, Rishi Sunak. Well, Joe Pesci put it best, didn't he?
You know you're a lying, low-life, motherfucking gambling degenerate prick. You know that's what you are?
You know that's what you are. Answer the question. Who are these Russians? But it does make me laugh, though. It's a wonderful thing to observe. Piers Morgan, of course, who's worked for CNN and works for ITV, and, well, he's a very wealthy man for all his limitations as a presenter, and they are many, right? He's never going to talk about Israeli influence or Israeli sought-after influence. Israeli sought influence in UK public life or politics, is he? It's always about the Russians, isn't it? The bloody Russians. The Russians. Around the corner, the Russians. You can't move without the Russians. The Russians. Mad stuff, this. And you know, I was reflecting today on the lobby, which is a documentary made by Al Jazeera News, which showed what the Israeli government was doing in the UK. Basically, bribing people, offering money to people to bring down political opponents of Israel in the Labour Party. And I was doing a bit of digging today, dear listener. And you talk about, Piers Morgan wants to talk about Russian influence through donations to political parties in this country. Let me give you just a few of the Israeli-supporting lobby groups operating in the UK today. It's Israel, not Russia. Have a listen to this. The All-Party Britain-Israel Parliamentary Group. BICOM. The Campaign Against Anti-Semitism. The Labour Friends of Israel, the Conservative Friends of Israel. Habanim Dror. The Israel-Britain Alliance, the Jewish Labour Movement, the Jewish National Fund, Stand With Us, UK Lawyers for Israel, Union of Jewish Students, We Believe in Israel, the Zionist Federation of Great Britain and Ireland, and multiple Christian Zionist groups. And Piers Morgan wants to know about a handful of donors who've made donations from Russia to the Conservative Party. None of them has a cojone in their bodies. None of them will ever take on the Israeli lobby in this country, because to do so would mean the end of their career. Right? Right. Here's a story that's designed to drive you mad. It's serious. We covered this extensively a couple of weeks ago. Manchester City's Bernardo Silva has been banned for one game and fined £50,000 after the FA accepted he did not intend a tweet about his teammate Benjamin Mendy to be racist. The FA accepted he didn't intend the tweet to be racist. Silva compared Benjamin Mendy, who is black, to the character on a packet of Conguitos, which is a chocolate brand available in Spain and Portugal. He shortly after deleted the post because of the blowback from it. And he said, you can't even joke with a friend these days. The FA report said, and this is very important, so listen up, many persons would have taken offence to the content. Wait for it. The FA said the player, Silva, did not himself intend the post to be insulting or in any way racist. It is clear that the tweet was intended to be no more than a joke between close friends. However, this wasn't a private communication between friends. This was on a social media platform exposed to the 600,000 followers of a high-profile professional footballer. Many persons viewing the imagery depicted in the tweet would have taken offence to the content, and this unquestionably brings the game of football into disrepute.
What kind of fuckery are you?
Just to remind you, the FA said the player did not himself intend the post to be insulting or racist. But other people might have taken offence to it, and therefore he's brought the game into disrepute. He must be banned for a game, and he must pay £50,000. Now, I don't care how much money he earns per week. I don't care if he can afford it. I don't care if it's a day's wages. I do not care. I recommend, and I would recommend, not that he listens to this programme or would give a damn about people like me, but I would go straight to a solicitor. Sod them all. It's outrageous. You didn't at all mean to be racist, Bernardo, but you're banned and you're fined £50,000. How does that work now? Right? Right. We're coming up for 18 and a half minutes past the hour. You know, what are you going to do? What are we going to do about things like that? You know, John tweets, the Russians really are the villains that never sleep, aren't they? They're under every bed and hiding in every bush. I expect Hollywood remakes of Rocky IV, Firefox and Red Scorpion anytime soon. They don't need to remake those films, John. There are any number of films that have been released in the last few years that depict Russia in a negative light. Any number of them. And you'll see them on Netflix as well. But I hear you loud and clear. Yeah, yeah. Russia, the red menace in the East. David Stanford says Piers Morgan is loathsome. Yeah. Hi to Paul Alawi. How you doing, Paul? Base Ninja says, the Russians are up to it again. I bet they've got a hand in the amount of traffic on the M60 and M62. The Russians, responsible for gridlock on the M60. What about Israeli meddling in UK politics, he says. Funny how the MSM never mentions that. Peter O'Born made a documentary for Dispatches back in, help me out here, 2009, was it? 2008? It was either 2008, 2009, 2010, or 2011. I know. I think it was probably around the 2010 election. He took it on, did O'Born. He barely survived. But nobody wants to take it on. Not a joke. All of these Israeli lobby groups. It's no joke. Campaign Against Anti-Semitism, BICOM, All Party Britain, Israel Parliamentary Group, the Friends of Israel, Labour and Conservatives, the Israel-Britain Alliance, Jewish Labour Movement, Jewish National Fund, Stand With Us, UK Lawyers for Israel. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. No organisation, no country wields as much influence in the UK as the Israeli government. And they are laughably talking about Russian donors to the Conservative Party. Yes, it is a fair question. Of course it is. If you donate £1.5 million, what do you get? Do you know what they get, these people? Most of them. They get to go to dinner with Boris Johnson or with Sajid Javid. And they might get introduced to one or two people that might have contracts, that might have business going on. That's about the extent of it. That's about the extent of it, really. Hi to Paul Burchell. Paul says, Richie, I picked a good week to be ill. Great to be listening live, he says. How you doing, Paul? Hope you get better right soon, my friend. Right, time, excuse me, for a tune while I dial up my first guest. Remember, Eric T. Carstrom returns to the Richie Allen Show in the second hour. It is the 13th of November 2019. I am indeed Richie Allen, and this is your Richie Allen Show, by the way. Nothing like it. Music from Steve Earle. Coming right up, Posey Parker on the Richie Allen Show. Thanks for joining me. Keep the tweets coming in. It's at Richie Allen Show. That's the Twitter handle. The Richie Allen Show, Wednesday's programme. Posey Parker standing by. Will be with me in a minute or two. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to connecting with her again. It's been a long time. It's about a year, I think, since she was on the programme. Her Facebook page has been deleted today. She's one of the most well-known gender-critical feminists in the country. And at one time, she was interviewed under caution for her assertion that a person with male appendage cannot, in fact, be a woman. And this is very important, this. You know, I try not to do too much of this, and it isn't that often that I invite a guest on to talk about it, but it's not going away, this. In fact, it's only going to get worse. You know, these safe spaces, I suppose, increasingly being taken away from women and girls. And what's even more worrying about that is when people stand up against it, when people say, listen, this is not good, we don't like it, they're increasingly finding themselves deleted on social media accounts. That can't be right, that. And we've got to do everything we can to stop that. We really do. No matter whether you agree with the person or not, you can't stand by while people who are expressing an opinion, which isn't inciting violence or anything like that, is expressing a very well thought out opinion, is being basically marginalised. Because, of course, social media is where the debate takes place in 2019. That is what has happened, like it or lump it. That it has been engineered that way. Instagram, Facebook, comments on Google, on YouTube and Twitter, of course, that is where people have discourse. They've monopolised it. So you can't delete people, you know, unless you've got a good reason to delete them, unless you can prove that they've incited violence, you know, against somebody else. We have laws against that sort of thing. Let's welcome back to the programme. She's a feminist. She is one of the most prominent, I suppose, commentators on these issues, issues around gender identity. I mentioned a few minutes ago, incredibly, not that long ago, only a year or so ago, she was interviewed under caution because of her opinion that somebody with male appendage cannot ever be a woman. And I learned late yesterday or earlier today that she's been booted off of Facebook. Now, she's got a big following. She's a wife, she's a mother. She blogs on her website. I'll put links out to where you can read her website. Let's welcome back to the programme, Posy Parker. Posy, thanks for coming back on. How are you?
Yeah, I'm really great. Thanks very much.
Good to have you on. Hey, listen, so I understand that you've not been suspended. Facebook has deleted your page. Is that right?
Yeah, it's they call it disabled. So they've disabled my account. So I have no access to it. It doesn't exist.
And how did that come about? Presumably, because I know that the other side of this argument, so certain transgender lobbyists, they target you because of your own profile, because you've come to be known as somebody with an opinion on these issues. So they do go looking to get commentary from you. Was it a specific incident? Was there one particular debate or argument that you might think that it might have been about?
No, because, Facebook won't tell me what it's about. Recently, they've resurrected one of my posts where there was something quite disgusting, where they were talking about taking the uteruses, healthy uteruses from women and implanting them into men who want to validate their gender by having a pregnancy. And I thought this was spectacularly vile. And so I said, I hope that people are fatally allergic to right. transplants. Now, I think I'm quite funny. I mean, clearly I am quite appalled by this whole thing anyway. But, you know, saying fatally allergic, that's not, it's just supposed to be sort of tongue in cheek, but, you know, a relatively serious message behind it, that it's a terrible idea. So that's been resurrected. But Facebook haven't banned me for sort of 3, 7 or 30 days for a really long time. And I was beginning to grow very suspicious as to why this was, because obviously I really do push the Overton window when it comes to what we can still, what we're still able to say in this sort of realm.
What are we not allowed to say, do you think? I am going to put out links on Twitter. Did Twitter get rid of you as well? Are you gone from Twitter?
Twitter's banned my IP address. So I've been banned from Twitter for a really long time, sort of over a year.
And you didn't do anything. Let me just, whether I agree with you or not is irrelevant. The fact is, I do agree with most of what it is you say. Let's be honest about it. I can't hide that. But I do maintain a bit of objectivity for the purposes of conversations with people like you, and I can't find anything that you've said that is in any way, you know, that anybody could say, well, that's dangerous, or that's really offensive, or that's outrageous, or that is demeaning. You've got a bit of a sense of humour on you. You know, anybody complaining about the allergy to the implantation of the uterus, well, they're Muppets. It's in context. It's the sort of thing that they should expect you to say, right? Because you are who you are. I can't find anything that you've ever said that could be construed as really bad. Did Twitter ever give you any indication as to why they deleted you?
No. What these platforms do, and I think because they're not really accountable, they don't have an electorate. They're very much user-driven, and often they have a very skewed view as to what their users think. In addition to that, they seem to be shaping policy outside of what I would call their public square. So the way that people talk on Twitter and Facebook is then taken by politicians and people who should know better, quite frankly, and it's beginning to shape policy. But Twitter, Facebook, all these social media platforms, they don't really represent the man in the street. You know, if I walk down the road now and I ask my first 100 people, do you think women have penises? I think it would be overwhelmingly 99% of people would say absolutely not.
Yeah.
But if you look at Twitter or Facebook and what you're allowed to say on these platforms, you would think that it was absolute common parlance that we all say that women have penises, that men who rape women, if they call themselves women, should be in women's prisons.
Yeah, madness, yeah.
You know, and all the other things that tie into it. So I'm considered extreme because I just refuse to do the pronoun game.
You won't do the pronoun. Now, there will be some people listening to this who might be hearing you for the first time.
I
think that you and I share a central opinion, and that is if people want to live and dress and go through their lives as a member of the opposite sex, you have no problem with that, I don't believe. I certainly don't anyway. It's when it comes to, we want access to female spaces, we want to change language, we want to police what people can say. I think that has always been your problem. Somebody living across the road, John, who identifies as Doreen, wears a dress, grows his hair long, you don't have any issue with him, do you?
Absolutely not. I don't care. It's none of my business. I don't care what my neighbours do in the privacy of their own homes. I don't care if people believe that the earth is flat. You know, none of those things are really any of my business until they are made my business, until they're being taught to my kids in school, until I can't go to a public toilet and guarantee that there's not a man in there, or that I have to somehow collude in a sort of societal delusion. That's the only problem that I have with it. There is no other belief system in modern times in the United Kingdom that we all have to go along with, whether we like it or not.
Are we losing the battle, Posey? Are we losing the battle? I say that because there's so much going on. You know, obviously, you mentioned schooling there, and it's amazing that parents in Birmingham who are genuinely concerned about their children being too young to hear about sexuality, they're being labelled as bigoted and bigots and hate figures and hate speech people and all of that. And I wonder, despite your eloquence when you're on television and radio, despite others like you, is the battle being lost? Because this is like a steamroller, this thing. It's like every time I pick up the paper, we're told that you can't say something else, or we should change this word, and we shouldn't say that people can't have babies. I mean, it reminds me of the life of Brian. It's coming up a lot lately. You know, that Stanley, you're not a woman, Stanley. So are we losing the battle on this, do you think?
I think right at this moment, I think there is a real tussle. So in some respects, more people are waking up to it. And in some respects, the public services and bodies that you would just rely on would actually speak up against it are not, and they're going along with it. But I think that's because they are mistaken in their belief that the public opinion is with them. So you had Claire Balding on Julia Hartley Brewer's show a couple of days ago saying, well, you know, just being such a coward about it. And I'm looking at Claire Balding and I'm thinking, you absolutely know what a woman is, and that it's just absolutely dreadful that any man is competing in women's sports. And yet she's doing these weird arguments that, you know, well, Michael Phelps, he has a bigger lung capacity than other competitors, as if that's remotely comparable. But I think what's going to happen, to be honest with you, Richie, is I think we're going to get a saturation point. I think we're going to get a point where everybody's going to know somebody that's adversely affected, or some nonsense is being taught to one of their own children. And then the backlash will come. And along with it, it will take no prisoners. And many of the people that aren't remotely part of this awful trans activism, they're going to be caught up in it as well. Because I think when these, when this balance goes so far the wrong way, then when we sort of counterbalance it, it will madly tip. And then I think it will be quite a dangerous, horrible, hostile place for many people in the LGBT, unless the LGB really pull themselves away from the T.
Yeah, it's really interesting, the Claire Balding thing. For any of our listeners who don't know, she's a former equestrian. She's a very high-profile BBC and BT Sport presenter. And she's a gay woman, and I think would have described herself as a feminist. And for her to be, you know, sympathising with trans athletes who do have a very unfair advantage over women. Mm-hmm. There's no two ways about that in my mind. That speaks to the fear that people in the public eye have about getting involved and saying what it is they feel. Because I know, and I do know this, that the BBC is one of the organisations that is deliberately suppressing the voices of people who regret transitioning. I'll tell you, I know this, Posey, because I've had emails from people. I've seen stories in some of the papers who do have a little bit more courage, of people who regret transitioning, who said that they were pushed into it, or that, you know, they were given false information about it. They want access to these television and radio networks, and they're not getting it.
Well, of course, because the BBC are grooming children. They had another, they've had stuff on the CBeebies.
Oh,
it was
you.
Something like My Dad Charlotte. And it was on the CBeebies Facebook page. And it was all about basically an autogynephile with some children who, so bizarre. He was sort of shown, now you're married, aren't you?
Nearly there, okay. 17 years.
Sorry.
But, yeah, living in sin. Go on.
Okay. So they showed this man that is now calls himself a woman, and they showed him sort of giggling and then jumping on the sofa on top of his family members, right? Because that's how women behave. It was just, it was properly peculiar. And then also they've had a trans story, I Am Leo, of a girl transitioning to be a boy, and she had changed her passport sex at the age of 16. You know, just absolute grooming the nation. It's that's how you groom a nation, by narrative, by consistent, persistent narrative themes. It make you think that to question it, to go against it at all, makes you a bigot.
How
and,
do you
not very nice?
Not very nice. I was reading RT. Now, RT, to its credit, is one of those media organisations which takes a more balanced view. And I read about, see, I am a bit sheltered, me, and I'm not saying that for a joke, I really am. I didn't know about the 12-year-old boy Desmond is amazing.
Oh.
who's based in New York apparently, Posey, and he's 12.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
he goes to gay pride parades, and he has danced at strip clubs where,
yep,
people have thrown money at him. How could that go on without somebody saying, hang on a second now, let's back up here, this is crazy? That has got to be some form of child abuse, that.
Well, it's more than some form. His sister actually has spoken out about it, because his mother is abusive. And she was part of some weird thing in the 80s, the Club Kids or something. They were like quite young teenagers that were hanging out in clubs and,
Jesus,
and bars. But Desmond is an incredibly skeletal, very unwell looking little boy. And he was actually on a podcast with these two men. One had been convicted of murder and served time for murder. And Desmond, with these two guys on this podcast, sat underneath a painting of a little boy with the words Rehypnol. I mean, if you want to look at proper imagery and messaging, it couldn't be clearer.
Posey Parker is our guest this hour. We've got her for another 15 or so minutes. Hugely important, this. If you've got something to say, tweet at Richie Allen Show. There's plenty of tweets coming in now. I've just tweeted a picture of Desmond. I feel a bit grubby doing that, but there are so many online anyway that you can find it if you want to go to a search engine. Maybe I shouldn't do it, but just to demonstrate what Posey has been saying there. What about this education thing and the 4 and 5-year-olds being taught about touching themselves? And you mentioned the BBC. Didn't the BBC recently release a 5-programme, again aimed at children, kind of like a podcast or a series, that alleges that there are in fact 100 gender identities.
Yeah, they did. And they had a guy called Benjamin Butterworth on Good Morning Britain with Piers Morgan. And so Piers Morgan asked him what some of the gender identities were, and he quite rightly couldn't answer. But he was there to defend the whole subject. But it's ITV are doing it, Channel 4, you know, all the more insidious, I think, than just this narrative is your social media stuff. So it's not just that these things are discussed, but the counter view are deleted. And then you've got what's going on in schools. So
I meant to ask you this, Posey. Sorry to interrupt you. You would have done some research on me, because you're not stupid, before we first spoke. So you'll know the types of people I have coming on this programme. I get all types of people. I get academics. I get people with some very strong opinions about why they think things like these things are happening. And many of these people are very bright. Yeah. And a lot of people think that this is some real agenda, some real sinister agenda to attack the male and the female, to attack the natural relationship between men and women. And some people think it goes even further than that. They go into things about depopulation, all sorts of weird and wonderful opinions that I don't dismiss. You said insidious there. You've been watching this now for a few years. Not putting you on the spot, but why do you think this is everywhere? Because like you, I don't believe that this is just bad decision making, bad planning, or just a bad idea. I do think it's something more insidious. What's your overriding feeling on that? What do you think?
I think there's many people that benefit from the breakdown of society. I think paedophilia is a theme. Not that I think that's the ultimate driving force, but I think that the sort of global paedophile elite network, if somebody said to me, actually, they've done it because they're going to mutilate children's bodies, they're going to obliterate safeguarding, they're going to put a big fat wedge in between parents and children and put the state more in control of what happens to your children, sort of in their moral compasses and talking about things in school, I certainly wouldn't be surprised if somebody showed me absolute evidence of that. I'm definitely not surprised about the prospect of the pharmaceutical industry making an absolute cracking fortune out of this. And transhumanism is another element of that. So that will be Jennifer Bielik has written a brilliant piece about where the money is and who's making the money out of this movement. And then you've got other people that I've talked to, and I don't know enough about this to sort of wax lyrical about it, but the whole Marxist agenda of breaking down society 100%. All of those things, I think, sound relatively feasible. When I hear somebody making a good argument about them, I think they sound really feasible. And then you feel really silly because you're getting into the territory of sort of tin hat type stuff. And, you know, that's... You just feel that it can't possibly be true.
Yeah.
But,
do you know,
the alternative is even worse.
The alternative is even worse. Of course, the intelligence agencies coined the phrases conspiracy theorist and tinfoil hat wearer. Those came from US intelligence agencies. That's true, by the way. Just in case anybody thinks I'm making that up, it is true. Liz tweets, loads of tweets on this. Liz tweets, young Desmond was on Good Morning America and the audience were clapping and cheering. And you know what that brings us to, Posey? That brings us to self-censorship. Because I have to imagine that quite a few people on Good Morning America must have been pretty appalled and saddened by the spectre of the young boy, you know, dressed like that and behaving like that. And there probably would have been a time when, I don't mean people would have insulted the young boy, but people would have gotten up out of their seats and walked away. Mm. But self-censorship now is being imposed on people, and people now are having to think every second of every day, wow, should I say this or should I do that? How is that going to go down with other people? Rather than expressing yourself, you know?
Yeah, well, I've talked to people at local supermarkets because there are trans members of staff, and a lady in her sort of early 60s talked about how she accidentally said he, and then people had a go at her for about 4 days. So I do think self-censorship, you know, that's the only way that loads of people are remaining on social media is because they're finding clever ways to say man. You know, I know people now that call men XYs because they're too worried about talking about male violence or men in women's clothing or any of the other ways that you can express that somebody you know to be a man is a man. And so they're calling them XYs.
Here's the headline from the Irish Times today. And I don't mean, and I know you don't. If you did, I'd challenge you. You know, I'd listen to you. I wouldn't try to embarrass you, but I would challenge you. I know you feel the same way. You don't want to embarrass or mock anybody. But this is Trish Murphy is a reporter for the Irish Times. Here's a story. I saw this morning. I laughed out loud. The headline is, I'm 6'2", way over 14 stone, and I'm a trans woman. I don't fit in this world. I read this and I burst out laughing, but you're not a woman. And this is the thing, you're not a woman. And the reason you don't think you fit in this world is because in your own, I suppose, acutely narcissistic way, you won't settle until everybody, I don't know, signs some electronic document to say, yes, I accept that you're a woman. Because that's what it is, surely.
Well, who does really fit in this world? I mean, I'm sure we all have moments when we sort of think I'm a little out of place, but I would feel a little out of place if I dressed as a chicken, you know, because everybody would know I'm not a chicken.
Yeah.
Or if I walk down the road and I'm not particularly svelte and I'm 5'1", if I walk down the road as if I was a supermodel in a totally, you know, in a way that people can see, I perceive myself in a way that nobody else does, then of course I won't fit in. You can't possibly expect to fit in. And what makes me, and you will forgive me because actually I do mock some of these men because I feel it's such a mockery
it's
of
so
womanhood, to be honest. And so I do feel that laughter is the best counter to some of this stuff because otherwise it is just infuriating and really insulting. And sinister, you know, overwhelmingly, the fact that a man thinks he can put a bad wig on, some terrible makeup, who's been a man and quite happy to be a man for sort of 50 years, and then force his wife into a position of pretending that she's a lesbian married to a woman, and all the abuse that goes with that. And I've talked to far too many trans widows. I'm afraid I will mock them because that shows that I'm really not afraid and I'm not colluding in any of this.
Especially especially when they behave badly. The only time I've really, and it's mild by comparison, and I don't self-censor, I don't. I mean, I'm pretty brutal on other issues. But I was tweeted by this would-be politician, Amy Challenor, who I think has recently been chucked out of the Liberal Democrats. But in response to some stupid accusation or some stupid comment by Challenor on Twitter, I said, listen, if you're a woman, I'm an astronaut or something childish like that. Anyway, but yeah, I mean,
you know who he is, don't you?
I do. I know that his boyfriend has been saying things on Twitter about fantasizing about kidnapping and raping children, right?
Yeah, and his father is serving time for torturing and raping, repeatedly raping a 10-year-old.
Yeah, no, to be fair to Amy, that's not Amy's
Amy lived in the house and then didn't declare that his father was being being investigated for that crime whilst he was an agent.
It's a tough thing though, that, isn't it? I mean, do you know what? I mean, I didn't have much of a father, but he didn't do that, you know. I don't know how you'd cope in a household if your father was doing that. But the salient point is, she's with a bloke whose Twitter account, he says it was hacked. Then again, they all do, Posey.
No matter what's said,
you know, even if it's footballers' wives, oh no, my account was hacked. No, stop, you sold that stuff to the press. Don't lie. Colleen Rooney is the new Miss Marple, we know that. No, what I was going to say is, apparently the boyfriend was saying stuff like, I do fantasise about kidnapping, raping children, but it's okay, it's only a fantasy.
Oh, come on, we all fantasise about that.
Jesus wept up.
it's beyond, isn't it?
Yeah, and I don't have children, you do. And I'm told reliably that if, please God, if there is a God, if we are blessed with children, that my whole outlook on this will get even more kind of concentrated, you know, because you have a child. When you hear stuff like that, it's absolutely crazy. Speaking of the self-censorship, you said there might be a tipping point when people might get cheesed off. problem we have, Posey, is not just on this issue, but on so many other issues, whether it's a political issue, whether it's whether it's anything. People are losing their jobs these days for their opinions. Yeah. And, you know, I spoke to a friend of mine, somebody I like a lot. His name is Stephen. I won't say anything else, but Stephen is a businessman who employs a lot of people. And he's a really good lad, Stephen. And he conceded to me a couple of weeks back. He said, Richie, look, I do go through the Twitter accounts. I do, of would-be employees. And I do make decisions based on... And I said, based on their opinions. And he went, yes. And I said, shame on you. And he said, I know, I'm going to try better in the future. So... I'm really kind of arguing with your point that people might eventually get tired of it. I don't know, Posey. I'm worried that it's just going to keep regressing and regressing and regressing.
Well, I think there's what's happening. I'm sure your audience is growing, so there are alternative places to get news and to meet online, and I think those places will grow. The trouble is with some of the places that aren't censorious. Is they are a hotbed of absolute vile misogyny. And so you get the views, you know, you people that want to speak their mind, ultimately, people who are for free speech, a lot of those people will have met this sort of, this barrier a long time ago. And those people will have more unpalatable views. And I say unpalatable knowing that I'm probably a bit of a hypocrite, but sort of quite extreme, really hateful views, not about the truth, but about sort of believing that one race is superior to another, or one religion. You know, I recently went on a podcast that I didn't research, actually.
Listen, if you say what I think you're going to say, I'm going to fall out with you now. Listen, you were right to go on that bloody podcast. I don't care. I don't care what anybody thinks. Listen, I've been in the national press all year long. Because as part of this programme over the years, I've interviewed people who've denied the Holocaust. Now, of course, right. I've challenged them and argued with them and said, well, no, this is why blah, blah, blah. But you have the Daily Mail and the Guardian saying that people shouldn't come on this programme. Not because I've denied it, Posey, but because I've interviewed people. That's if we get to that stage, I saw that Pink News was coming after you because you went on a podcast. So we're supposed to think... that because Posey Parker goes on a programme to talk about the things we've been talking about today, and because that bloke has got opinions that are very, very right-wing, we're supposed to believe, well, Posey must agree with him. Otherwise, she wouldn't have went on the programme. We can't have that, Posey.
Well, we didn't. Had we discussed any of it, any of the other views, I would have argued. I mean, I probably wouldn't have argued particularly well because he seems to be very well versed. He's very entrenched in his position, and beyond, for goodness sake, don't be racist. There's no evidence. Blah blah blah.
Yeah.
I don't know really if I would have been the best person to argue against. Really. I'm going to say well thought out, but I don't mean as in he's right. I just mean that he has a lot of evidence for his point of view with his biases.
Some people are brilliant. Some people are brilliant at that.
Yeah.
And you and I both know no race or group of people are responsible for the world's ills and the world's misery.
Yeah.
We know that. It's a nonsense. And no one group of people is more intelligent or more morally superior than another. We know that. It's intrinsically true. And that's why it pisses me off to read that in Pink News that, oh, you should hold your nose in Akwani's programme. Some of these views that you talked about, of course they're views that would really piss us off and wind us up. But if we're going to be in favour of free speech, it's got to be for, we've got to be Voltaire, right? It's got to be even for the most repugnant stuff.
But I think the point is, I don't think I would have a conversation with somebody known for a particular set of views, and apparently quite a lot of people knew who he was, but known for a particular set of views without challenging that view. Like, it would, you know, it just wouldn't happen, but although apparently it did. And so, I mean, as soon as I got off air, number one, he started talking about whether or not I looked Jewish. Then he talked about the fact that I was too old and infertile to be.
You're kidding me.
No. I mean, as if I would, if I knew that I was talking to someone like that. I mean, I did get the feeling that he may have been, as we're sort of conversing, I got the feeling that I had to ensure that I separated the trans stuff from homosexuality, because I did get the feeling that he was trying to group LGBT as this sort of scourge on society.
Kind of a Christian, evangelical Christian, right-wing Christian type of mentality. Yeah, they don't like they don't like Jews or gays or blacks or anybody else, really.
Yeah.
many of them.
I did get that feeling, but so I dealt with that and I made an overt comment. But anyway, you know, it's, I agree with you. I've never had to push the boundary of what I feel, how far I think free speech should go, because I do think I'm an absolutist. But then there are some things that I don't think people should say. And I guess fantasies about raping children would be something that I do think should be taken very, very seriously. Whether I'd criminalise that sort of talk, I don't know.
I'm glad he did say it. And by the way, I agree with you. It's abhorrent to read that. I'm glad he did say it, because at least we know who he is. And his local authorities can keep a nice keen eye on the guy. I had a guy on a couple of years ago who ran for the Senate in California and did really well in the primaries. And he believed that the Jews have an evil gene. I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous. And of course, I kind of made light of him and dealt with him pretty easily. But again, in some of the press in the country, it's like outrageous that you would have him on. Well, no, for the very reason that I'm glad that Twitter allowed this idiot to say that he fantasized about raping children. They live amongst us, and it's nice to know who they are.
I just don't understand when we stopped thinking that exchanging ideas is a bad idea.
Yeah. Yeah,
because I think if you and I disagree on something that, and at the end of a discussion we still disagree, then both you and I have practiced our argument, if nothing more.
Yeah, absolutely. We trigger warning is a new initiative in Manchester run by Hayden Hewitt and Graham Booth. Hayden is one of the guys who co-founded LiveLeak.com, which is one of the biggest websites in the world, and they're committed to kind of raising this discussion in the coming months and years about, you know, the unsayable and speaking and open forums and discussion, as everywhere else it seems to be. People are being kind of shut down, deplatformed and banned. I'll just give you a laugh. I mean, I was reading this morning in the Telegraph newspaper. This is no joke, by the way. There's a new Broadway running of say it for me. Oh, Jesus, why can't I remember the name of it? A musical about gangsters. What's it called?
Not West Side Story.
Well done, you. Well done. The big
I was
brain,
Maria in West Side Story.
Were you Maria in West Side Story? Well, this is absolutely pertinent to you then, Posey, because the new Broadway revamp of it, in the show, Maria won't be singing I Feel Pretty, because it's just not right. Because girls should not aspire to be pretty. You see, this is the crap that people are getting. And this is true.
Such
on
a
Broadway.
Lovely song. What's she going to sing? I Feel Basic?
I Feel Basic, yeah. I Feel Woke. I feel woke. She should sing, yeah.
I'm surprised that there's also a little bit of racist language in there, isn't there?
Allegedly.
A bit of argumentative stuff. And
yeah, yeah. And this is where it's gone. There's a million stories like that today. Listen, folks, if you haven't read Posey before, go to the website theposeyparker.com. It's P-O-S-I-E parker.com, theposeyparker.com. I have no doubt we'll talk again about these issues. Thanks for coming on short notice today. Sorry that Facebook have done that, but this is where we are. I had a YouTube channel deleted 18 months ago because I interviewed a guy who said that a certain terrorist attack didn't happen. Mad stuff. These are mad times. And there you go.
That's the best place to find me, actually, is YouTube, Posey Parker.
And there's only one Posey Parker on YouTube. I know this, 'cause I was watching some of your videos today. All the best to you. And do come back again real soon, Posey. Thanks for your time today.
I will do. Thank you so much.
An honour to have you on. Cheers for that. The great Posey Parker, a terrific lady on The Richie Allen Show. Today, Wednesday, November, it is November 13th, 2019. Going to take music from David Gray. When I come back, I'm going to read some of your comments. Don't forget, Eric T. Carlstrom returns to The Richie Allen Show real soon. And those tweets to @RichieAllenShow, I look forward to reading them. This is a cool tune, so it is. Right, we'll cut David Gray short. I'll tell you why, because I'm going to play a bit of music as an introduction to Eric T. Carlstrom. And you might be surprised to learn that it is music written, composed and performed by Dr. Eric T. Carlstrom. And you might be even further surprised to learn that it's pretty good. Yeah, I'm not just saying that, by the way. If it wasn't good, I wouldn't say anything. I would just play it and introduce him to the programme. Before I play his tune, hi to Steve, who says, Posey is a lovely, eloquent, intelligent lady. I will be looking at her work. Thank you, Steve. Hi to Alan Badger. How you doing, Alan? Hi to Dean Smith as well. Keep the comments coming in, by the way. Hayden Hewitt is tweeting about that picture of young Desmond. It's not nice to be tweeting a picture of that, of a young boy like that. But my only defence is those pictures are everywhere. You know, I'm not adding to the exposure of the young boy. But Posey was describing him and the way he looked, and I thought I'll just put a tweet out there. Dreadful stuff. Dreadful stuff. Good morning, America, dancing around like that, being bayed or egged on by a baying audience. Surely a lot of those present would have thought this is pretty awful. And surely there would have been a time when people would have said, well, do you know what? I'm not sitting around to watch this. This is not good. But because of the consequences these days for stepping outside the herd, and saying, I don't like that. That's not good. People are inclined to just go along with the adulation or sit on their hands or just clap politely rather than assert their right to say, this is dreadful. And it is child abuse, is what it is. Now, Eric Carstrom standing by. I've told you about Eric before. You know who he is. Emeritus Professor of Geography at California State University. He has been researching organised gang stalking for many, many years. And he can be found online at gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com. That's the website. It's a mouthful. Gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com. And there is some very interesting information on that website there. And Eric dropped me a line not so long ago. And he said, Richie, hope you're well, he said. I have a new strategy to expose the agenda, the government gang stalking genocide agenda, through songs. Because Eric is a musician, you see. And he said, I thought you might enjoy some of these songs. And he sent me about 7 songs. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to play one of them. And when it's playing, I'll give Eric a shout. We'll get him on the programme. We'll ask him about the music because it's quite good. Now, the first one is a cover version, but he's changed the words appropriately for the subject matter. I think you'll recognise the original song. And we'll play another one a bit later on. But I was very surprised, right? So here we go. Here's Eric T. Carstrom. I can't believe this. And he'll be joining me in a minute.
Spy, we got a rise in the sky. Spy, we can make you die when I want you. As my slave when I want you. In the grave, whenever I want excitement, all I have to do is spy. I can make you mine. I can read your mind. Anytime, night or day. Only trouble is, gee whiz, I'm spying my life away. We're the New World Orders, secret spies, driving, stalking, acting, and telling lies. Whenever we want Bitcoin, all we have to do is spy. Spy, spy, spy. Homeland Security pays us good to bully our neighbors. In the hood, whenever we want gift cards, all we have to do is spy. Now I can wreck your life, can rape your wife with the infrequencies night or day. Only trouble is, gee whiz, I'm zapping my life away. Now I'm certified in electronic war, sending frequencies through your walls and doors. Whenever I feel powerless, all I have to do is spy, 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 when I track you. On myself, I help DOD keep you in hell. Whenever I want gift cards, all I have to do is spy, 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 spy. They might call us gang stalkers, but we are America's secret army of civilian spies. We are soldiers in the organization, and it's our duty to keep all UTIs confined in the invisible electronic concentration camp, your prison and torture chamber without walls. Of course, some of us realize that there's only a 1 in 20 million chance of actually being killed by a terrorist. And we have a pretty good idea that the targeted individuals, poor slobs, that we're stalking aren't terrorists or even criminals. But it doesn't matter much because we're getting paid good and we get a real rush and a sense of camaraderie belonging to the neighborhood death squads. I mean, citizens on patrol. When we spy, 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 spy.
10 minutes past the hour. Welcome back. Eric Carlstrom to the Richie Allen Show. Eric, I can't believe it. That is very, very good.
Well, thank you, Richie.
And you know what I mean by I can't believe it? When an academic man says, Richie, I've got some songs, I've been a music DJ for years, you kind of cringe, don't you, Eric? You cringe and you think, Jesus, this guy, I've got to pretend I like his music. It's really good, Eric. I listened to all the songs. What possessed you? Where did? I mean, you're obviously a musician and a very talented one, and you can sing. What gave you the idea to write the songs? And thanks for sending them to me, by the way.
Well, it's great to talk again, Richie. Well, you know, I've started playing guitar when I was 13, back in the folk era of the 60s. You know, Peter, Paul, and Mary and Kingston Trio. All my friends on my block started playing the guitar and singing at the same time. It was the thing to do. And I stuck with it. I also play banjo and piano, and I have many CDs out. And the reason I've done this is because I'm just trying to get the word out. You know, I was a professor for years to make a living. And we learned, you know, that some people are visual learners. They like to read. Some people are auditory learners. They like to hear. And some people are tactile kinesthetic. They like to touch and do it by hand. So I'm just trying to get the word out. I've got my gang stalking mind control cults.com website. The shorter version of that is globalgestapo.com, and it's got 1,111 posts on it now. So since 2016, I've been working pretty hard for a retired guy who taught 30 years at universities to try to figure out what's going on. And I think I've just about got it, Richie. So now really my efforts now are to try to get the word out in different ways. And I thought this would be kind of an interesting way to approach it.
It's a really, really cool way to approach it, especially because they sound good. They sound really good. So you mentioned the websites, and obviously we'll tweet links out to those websites. People will want to know where they can hear the music. And I swear, guys, I swear, I downloaded the music. Eric sent me the tracks on Skype and listened to them with great hesitation, it must be said. And I was just absolutely delighted with them. Great songs. I've been playing them all day today. So where can people... I wouldn't say that, Eric, if I didn't mean it. Where can people get them? Online?
Well, you know, this is a rough draft of a project that I'm doing. Recently had a couple weeks in the recording studio where it really didn't have much of a plan, But I came up with about 65 tracks. About 10 of them are regular songs, like the one we just heard. About 40 of them are narrations of bits and pieces of text from books and testimonies of different people that are overlaid over my own instrumental music. And then about another 15 or so are just narrations. So right now there's about 65 tracks. I've got it on a thumb drive. It's not yet for sale because it's still a rough draft. But I do have these 10 songs on my website, gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com. People can go listen to them for free at this point. I'm fighting for my life, and I believe I'm fighting for the life of not only my life, but for the life of the United States and other countries, basically for humanity, because what we're dealing with here is a takedown program, which I'm now calling G5 for global government, gang stalking, genocide, Gestapo. This is like a Gestapo on steroids, with all kinds of spying by Neighborhood Watch and Citizens on Patrol and many, many, many groups. There seems to be an enormous amount of money put into this project. And it's also combines that kind of targeting, which is no-touch torture, basically psychological torture of targeted individuals. It combines that with use of directed energy weapons, electromagnetic and acoustic, as well as neural weapons. All of these were developed by the CIA and their MKUltra and other programs in the 40s and 50s and 60s, and now they're being rolled out globally to target individuals who perhaps the power elite, the global government types, consider a possible obstacle to their realizing their plans. So I'm doing this for survival, my survival, and that of many, many other TIs that I hear from on a fairly regular basis.
And the website is excellent because that whole story, the development of these programs, is chronicled on the website by Eric. It really is. And having Eric on the program three or four times in the last couple of years, I found the website a great source of information, and I really appreciate that. When I announced you were coming on today, I was asked about fires in Australia and fires on the Pacific coast, and we'll come to that in a minute if you don't mind. But I was also asked to put to you a question. Here in the UK, police forces are encouraging people all the time to contact them and to tell tales about name-calling and very minor things, people offending people. If you go to a soccer stadium now, when you're in the soccer stadium, you will be given a text number. It's usually a four-digit number, Eric. So you might be watching Liverpool against Manchester United, and you're being told, if you see something you don't like, tweet it to the police. And now we've got the police on Twitter asking people to report non-violent crimes like hate crimes to them. So a number of listeners asked me to put to you, they say that sounds very much like the agenda you've been talking about for some time now, Eric. Is that part of the gang stalking mind control agenda, getting people to report to the authorities very insignificant and minor things to the police and stuff like that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and it's in America, it's, you know, if you see something, say something. And then all these little reports go to the fusion centers, which are run by Department of Homeland Security and the FBI. And then that's all compared with the metadata that the NSA has collected on each person. And the idea is that if somebody is not doing what the power structure wants, they can take them out. They can put them on these watch lists, the terrorism watch list, the main core watch list, the no-fly watch list, and they can be targeted extrajudicially and illegally. But now the whole system, I believe we have a communist revolution going on now, Richie, and it's not just America, it's around the world. And when you know, Joseph Goebbels, of course, the Nazi Reich minister of propaganda said, you know, if a dictatorship wants to control a country, it has to control the streets. So they use citizen informants, spies, to you know, watch each other, to spy on each other. And it's a most, and what can I say? It's pathetic. It's disagreeable. But this is what happened in the Soviet Union. This is what happened in the East German Stasi, where one out of six civilians was recruited to be citizen spies. And Homeland Security wants one out of three in America to be citizen spies. They said that in their in the early years of 2003. That would mean 100 million American spies. So then the song all of a sudden takes on a very great importance. Now, we don't have a society. We have a spy society made of rats. You know, these are people who are turned into scumbags, thinking that they are, you know, being patriotic. Well, they're not being patriotic. What they're doing is helping the power elite, the dictatorship, the 0.001%.
Let me put an argument, Eric. Let me put an argument against that. This is why I love having you on. We don't have you on often enough because you're so thought-provoking. You've characterized them as scumbags, and most people would agree with you. And I'm not saying I don't agree with you. But what if those people themselves are terrified? Maybe they don't realise it, but they need to signal to the elite that they're okay, they're good, and they're, you know, they should be left alone. And one of the ways of doing that is to point out online, on the internet, or publicly, to point out that somebody else is not a good citizen. Maybe they're not as bad as we think they are, these people. What do you think?
I think that's a good point. I think a lot of people are afraid, and they think that this might buy them some, you know, safety if they're on the right side of, you know, this program. But really, Richie, if we look at this historically, what we see is that in the 60s, in the late 60s and 70s, the CIA developed a program in the Vietnam War called the Phoenix Program, which targeted and killed civilians who were supporting the Viet Cong infrastructure. They were the Viet Cong infrastructure who were supporting the guerrillas in the war in Vietnam. And so the CIA learned, and this was very much a computer-driven thing. They took many, and just about every possible agency in Vietnam to target and eliminate and interrogate and torture and kill about somewhere between 40,000 and 80,000 of the Viet Cong infrastructure, the VCI, the civilian population. And of course, that was a violation of all the rules of war. But basically, that's what's going on now in the world. The Phoenix program has gone global. And we have statements by people with Department of Homeland Security saying we have to have a global Phoenix program. This is what David Kilcullen said in 2003. And that's what we've got. And this was, of course, all ramped up under Bush Cheney and the false flag terrorist attacks at 9/11. So what we have after the false flag terrorist attacks at 9/11, wherein Israel and the United States government interagency brought down the towers in order to have a trigger event for all these wars in the Middle East, which have cost trillions, and all this military police state at home, which has cost even more trillions, about $8 trillion, have been transferred from social programs to the national security racketeering network, which is what it is. These are criminals. And now we have criminals in charge. And they're going after innocent people who might tell the truth, who might be a whistleblower, who might be a person of conscience. So anybody who's a good person should, you know, really look at this very carefully and decide how they're going to respond. They can respond out of cowardice and say, okay, I'm going to go with the criminals to be safe. Or they can stand up and say, I believe, you know, in the sovereignty of my nation, and I believe in our Constitution. I believe in, you know, the values that we were supposedly brought up with. But now we have a criminal, mafia state, I believe.
I agree with you, by the way. I do agree with you. But I also have this image in my mind of, you know, decent people, maybe 500 decent people, and there's one elite totalitarian scumbag, and he's got a gun, and there's 500 of us, and we say, right, let's get him. And then we look at one another and go, well, you go first, Eric. Or I'll go first. There is a bit of that. No, I hear you loud and clear. Natalie commutes to work in London, and she is on the train, and after every stop on the train, there's an announcement about see it, say it, and if you do, it'll be sorted. You see, I didn't know that. That is spooky beyond belief, that. To be getting messages on trains. I know in China now, they're warning people about social crediting. I know you talk about this, Eric, and you understand this. Is that where we're going now very soon? To a kind of a cyberspheric kind of social crediting system? Because the cashless society is not coming. It's already here in so many countries. Are we getting to the point now where we will have real consequences, societal consequences, for people who don't obey and toe the line, like the social crediting system we're seeing in China?
Absolutely. I think the technocracy, the high tech aspect of this, I've been calling it, you know, just informally G5. Well, that I think is meant to merge with 5G, you know, which is very high tech communication systems now, which actually use frequencies that are in the gigahertz range, which are weaponized. And so they can use this to not only to spy on people in their homes, but also to take them out if they don't like what they're doing. So this really goes back to the very basis of how totalitarian systems operate. And, you know, in the United States, we thought we had a democracy. We thought we had a republic. We thought we had a great experiment in self-governance. Well, I think we're losing that very quickly, Richie, with this combination of things. And it's obviously this is a long-term plan to take down the free societies, including the Five Eyes, you know, which are Britain, Canada, New Zealand, Australia, and the United States. And Israel says it's the second now of the Five Eyes. And these are spying arrangements, by the way, the Five Eyes. And so, yeah, they're all into data collection. And NSA is doing it now for the world. That's the National Security Agency in the United States. So what they're doing to Americans now, they're trying to do to the whole world. Well, this is unacceptable in a democratic society. And we need to somehow get this trend rolled back. We need to take the Bluffdale, Utah facility, which is going to store all these metadata records. We need to get rid of that if it's going to be a government of and by and for the people instead of by and for the ruling elite who are psychopathic, I believe, Satanists.
Satanists is right. Eric Carson, and I believe that as well. Eric Carson is our guest. The websites, let me just bring it up. You said it earlier on. Gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com. The shorter version of that, remind us again, Eric, is Global Gestapo, I believe, is it?
Yes, globalgestapo.com.
That's right. globalgestapo.com. It's really good to have Eric on the program. And the technology that enables this elite, these people to do the things that he's been describing, you'll find all the information you need to know about that on Eric's website, because the technology's been around for a long time. It's not new tech that's just emerged in recent times. It's been around for many, many decades. And we've had people like Barry Troer on this program who researched and developed this stuff for the Navy here in the UK. What Eric is telling you is true. Now, of course, when I said you were coming on today, a lot of very excited, happy, but also very annoyed, not annoyed at you, Eric, but annoyed listeners, because we've got saturated coverage at the moment in the UK because of course, the relationship between the UK and Australia, the Commonwealth, because of the wildfires in Australia. We've talked on this programme in recent weeks about the fires in California. And you've been on this programme with me in the past, and you made a very compelling argument, very logical, a very lucid argument, even though it's very difficult for people to process this. But you believe that these fires are not down to climate change. They're not down to basic weather conditions and very dry countryside, very dry bush areas. You believe, and you're certain that you can prove it, that the fires, they come from someplace far more sinister, and they are because of directed energy weapons. How do you explain that to people without people saying, Eric, you're absolutely barking mad, you're crazy, how could anybody be doing that? And even if they could do it, why would they want to do it? These are questions that you grapple with all the time. What's happening?
Yeah, you know, I taught physical geography for 30 years at three universities, so I know a little bit about the environment. And my field was climates of the past. So I know that the global warming, climate change, a scenario that we're bombarded with is basically propaganda. It's a case of worldview warfare, or Weltanschauungskrieg, to use the German word.
Yeah.
And so this is, you know, to get us to pay global, to tax us in our use of fossil fuels, and also to, you know, advance the cause of United Nations as one world government, et cetera, et cetera. But also as a cover story for weather warfare and geoengineering, which has been going on since World War II. The CIA in 1962 wrote a memo saying we want to control the weather for military purposes. In 1996, The Air Force wrote a document called Weather as a Force Multiplier, Owning the Weather in 2025. Okay, so, and then it talked about the different technological steps that needed to be taken and where we were, et cetera. So we're just about at the point where weather can be, and I'm talking about droughts, floods, steering hurricanes, creating hurricanes, knocking them down, steering tornadoes. And of course, all of this is planetary warfare, which is an idea that a Russian scientist, Vernadsky, came up in 1926. And so, you know, we have had, I think, the merger of kind of Soviet communist science in terms of mind control and American Western science in terms of mind control, and also in terms of geoengineering, weather warfare. Now, this, which means that some of these huge hurricanes that, you know, such as Harvey, which have behaved in a most unexpected way, in fact, ways in which hurricanes do not behave, that they are in fact manufactured and used as a weapon. And of course, there's plausible deniability because this is nature, right? Well, somebody who knows how hurricanes work could, and I've done some work on Hurricane Harvey and have some posts on that on my website. But yeah, I think these are beam weapons from space or from high altitude planes. And we are dealing with, you know, Tesla technologies, weaponization of the electromagnetic spectrum. There's many, many different kinds that have been tested and proven to be useful in warfare. We are dealing with war against the people now. And unfortunately,
Harry, can I jump in? Sorry to interrupt you. Can I jump in that just before you talk about the war against the people? Again, I'm very sympathetic to your point of view there. But just to be the devil's advocate for listeners who are skeptical, is it fair to say that you're, as an academic man, you've looked at every possible angle of these fires. You've looked at every possible cause, and you've eliminated everything, or you believe you have, and that's left you believing that it's got to be a beam weapons from high altitude. Because some of our listeners will say, as a man of science, Eric probably should say that this is his best guess, that he doesn't have 100% proof yet. Because people, you know the way people are. They want absolute definitive proof. Do we have patents? Do we have patent papers? How do we know that such weaponry actually exists to begin with?
Okay, good point. And, you know, I would have to say that I haven't made a deliberate study of this. I mean, there's only so much I can do, and I have worked more on the mind control elements and the stalking elements. It's an impression that I have. But certainly the patents exist. When I was still teaching at Cal State University Stanislaus in the Central Valley of California, I was asked to come to the Commonwealth Club in San Francisco, fairly prestigious place, to be on a panel discussion about what's going on in our skies, climate change in the skies, or whatever was the name of the panel discussion. And at that point, I did a PowerPoint. I didn't get to use it, but I did use it later, and it's on my website, in which I do discuss all the patents, or many, many of the patents, that show that geoengineering is the reality. And geoengineering is synonymous, of course, with weather warfare, although that's one aspect of it. But mind control is also another aspect that can be accomplished with these phased array antennas, such as at the HARP facility, and many, many, many other ionospheric heaters throughout the world. So what we're talking about, beaming directed energy off of the ionosphere, even ionospheric mirrors that the Air Force has been working on, and then with pinpoint accuracy, that energy comes back down, perhaps to a fault line to create an earthquake, or comes back down to move a high-pressure, low-pressure system to change the jet stream, create drought or floods or whatever. But I've looked at the footage of the fires in California. Now we're in the third year of them. And, you know, it's most interesting that these fires don't burn trees, but they burn cars.
Amazing.
And they take houses and bring them right down to the foundation. And so they're burning way, 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 way too hot. These are metal fires, not wood fires. And it's got a different class in the vernacular of the firefighters. And they are very, very dangerous and very, very hot. And I believe they are coming to some extent. It could be other factors, but to some extent are coming from the sky and beam weapons. We know those planes exist that can do this. We have pictures of them. And
we
find out who manufactures them.
Yeah, and I wasn't contradicting you at all. What I was trying to do was lay out for the listeners that you don't come to such conclusions lightly, that you take a lot of existing evidence and you surmise that this very well might be happening. And I like that. And I agree with you. I find the things inexplicable as well. I've had Deborah Tavares on. She's done an awful lot of work on that specifically. And people can watch her videos on YouTube. But I've had many other men and women, also from academia, who can't explain these things and who do accept that, yes, there's a very strong possibility that sophisticated weaponry, the likes of which we haven't been told about, does exist and is being used. Eric Karlstrom is our guest this hour. It is important to be talking about these issues. And, of course, we're seeing it in Australia as well, Eric. Listeners might say, what would be the payoff then for the sorts of criminals that would do that, that would burn people out of their homes and that would depopulate certain areas? What's their payoff? What did they want from that?
You know, again, going back to this article that I have posted on my website, and one of my song's narrations is an excerpt from an article by Preston James, PhD, who is a regular contributor to Veterans Today. And the article is called You Are the Enemy. And there's just a continual series of provocations being directed, certainly at targeted individuals, but also at the population as a whole. And then when people stand up to that, when people try to fight back, then, of course, they get watchlisted. So what we're dealing with, I think, is a kind of a slow-motion coup, a slow-motion takeover of the United States. And of course, the reason for that is there's a lot of wealth in the United States and they would like to have it change hands. They want it. And not only the United States, but of course, other countries around the world. So I think we're looking at a slow motion communist revolution. It behooves us to look at the dynamics of what happened with the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917, who was behind it, who was behind the French Revolution in 1789. You know, and we come back to the Illuminati, Bavarian Illuminati, with their plan for world takeover. So, again, we see the same pattern now, I think, gone global. So I think the Bavarian Illuminati are at the center of this. This is a secret society, of course, which took over the upper levels of Masonry, so they're together. But it's also heavily Jewish in its makeup because it is a Jewish secret society. So we're dealing with a 3,000-year plan for world domination by a small group of people that believe that they are the chosen people of God. I know that's probably the least politically correct thing I could say, but all of the data that I've looked at brings it back to that. And then the intelligence agencies like the CIA would be the willing tool of the high cabal, which would be the people with money and the people with power.
Listen, so you don't have to worry about being politically correct on this program, by the way. Nobody does. This is a free speech forum. I understand I understand why you draw that conclusion. I've never seen it as, and I've looked at it from different angles as well, and there are so many more angles than depopulation and mind control. You've obviously got paedophilia, Satanism. I don't believe that it's a Jewish conspiracy. I believe Jews are no different to anybody else in terms of that they suffer as a result of it. I do believe that Zionism is a thing, and we've been given, I suppose, they've kind of merged Jewishness and Zionism together, but they're two totally different things. And a lot of these financial elites that have names, you know, we know the names Oppenheimer, Warburg, Rothschild, they've often hidden what it is they do. They've hidden behind their perceived Jewishness. But I've never believed that they're really Jews, because to me, Jews are not people anyway. They're not a race. Jews to me are just a religious group, an identity group. But that's just my take on it. You know, like I said, there are a lot of people who come on this program who they make that connection. They do believe that these three Freemasonic, these societies, that there is a big Jewish element there. But I reckon a lot of those people are not Jewish. I believe they're fake Jews. And again, I'm like you. I'm not worried about saying what it is I really think. And I think, you know, ordinary Jewish men and women, they kind of suffer because of that. And they sometimes put their hands up and they say, why are you blaming us? You know, we're here in the same streets as you. We're suffering the same bloody agenda. But I know where you were going with that, Eric.
Yeah, you know, this is very, this is a problematic issue, you know. And so I go to people that have studied this for a long time, you know, people like Tex Mars and whatnot, who's, you know, has a power prophecy program in Texas. And he's an Air Force officer and written over 70 books and a Christian pastor. And so he's written, like I say, over 70 books in which he discusses these issues. So, you know, I don't claim to be an expert at all these things. I try to find the experts that I find most credible, and then I kind of go with the evidence that they put forth. And there are many, many books that kind of put forth that scenario. But yeah, you can say, what did Jesus say? He said, you know, those who say they are Jews and are not Jews, but are the synagogue of Satan. And we are dealing with Satanists and pedophiles, etc. And I think the rest of us have to kind of stand up to this however best we can and say, no, this is not where we want our culture and our societies to go. Because obviously they have an enormous impact and clout, and they are not above carrying out the most hideous and heinous of crimes.
Yeah, fair enough. And I just want to make the point, because I'm not bailing you out, but I know what it is you're saying. And you mentioned Tex Mars there. I mean, Jewish people say to me all the time, Richie, it's preposterous, this notion that because we're Jewish that we're predisposed to wanting to take over the world and, you know, to control the world. We're not. It's a nonsense. And I agree with them. I believe them. It's an absolute nonsense. The banking elites, their origins, the interbreeding with the royal families of Europe, that's a whole other area of study, which is very, very, very interesting. And many of these people claimed to be Jewish, but they're not. Do you know, we could do whole shows on that because it's very interesting. Here's a question from a friend of mine in Ireland who gets who's often mentioned, and she reads your works. She's very interested in you. Jean Anne says, does Eric have an idea why people are being so slow to see what's happening around them? It's the same here in Ireland and in England and in Europe as it is in America. People just won't believe it, or they don't see it, or they don't know how to join the dots. Why are people so slow to accept it, Eric? Because, you know, eventually all the things that it can't possibly be are eliminated, and it's obvious that this global agenda is real, the one that you write about. And yet people are so reticent to say, okay, it is happening. Why is that, do you think?
That's a very good point and question. You know, I don't have to look very far to find my friends and family who are in that position as well. I think there's a certain amount of fear and the denial kind of mixed with all the propaganda we get. And I think in some cases, in many cases, there's much more mind control going on than most of us realize amongst in the population. Again, this is one of the areas that I've had to really explore. Is the, you know, MK Ultra Monarch programs, the number of people who are sleepers, who are programmed and fragmented personalities, who you could argue they're not really even human anymore because they have been, you know, they're bio-robots. And I'm afraid that this is what the Satanist leaders want for all of us. They want a slave race, a cybernetic slave race. And this has been going on since World War II finished. And they're actually earlier, that there have been this very, very strong, though top secret classified, dedication to figuring out how to do this. And you know, I've had to do another enormous intense study since I retired from academics to do what I'm doing. And I've learned so much. So much of this is not warm and fuzzy. You know, I'd rather be doing something fun. But I feel like this is absolutely essential work because the powers that be have these enormous weapons that many of which we're not aware of. So we need to become aware of who the enemy is and what tactics he uses and what weapons he has. And then I believe we, the great majority, stand a chance to maintain the sovereignty of our nations, to the integrity of our individual persons, our free will, etc. But we need to know what we're up against, and that's why I've been doing this.
And that's why you're doing it. And it's always important for platforms like this to speak to people who've come out of academia. Because regardless, I know some people won't like hearing this, but I don't care. It's important because it's more useful. You are more useful to me as a human being, as a person, as a researcher than others, because it's easier for me to introduce these subjects to people by giving them a snippet of our conversation today or a little snippet from your website, because you've had that academic background and it's provable. It's not a snobbish thing, it's just a pragmatic thing. And we need more people from academia, Eric, because academics are not necessarily more intelligent than people. They're not. But what they are is they're used to evaluate and assess things critically, aren't they? And a lot of academics must be swallowing a lot of crap, and they must want to speak out. We need to get more academic men and women to come out and speak. I think that's a way forward. What do you think?
I certainly hope so. Yes, we need more whistleblowers. Although, you know, as we talked earlier in the show, you were mentioning all this emphasis on, you know, snitching on others. So I think there is a climate of fear, which is, you know, just pervading the land. We need people to stand up and realize that, you know, we have to step up. We have to put our names. When I wrote my first paper in 2002, Reflections on the Origins of 9/11, three scenarios, I gave three scenarios and I wrote my name on it. Well, at the time, almost nobody would put their name on something yeah. like that because of the fear that had, you know, it's really terrorism against the people. These false flag, state-sponsored synthetic terror acts are terrorism in order to subjugate the people through fear. So we need to realize that our founding father, I think it was Ben Franklin who said, when government fears the people, you have liberty. When yeah. people fear the government, you have tyranny. So what we have a lot of contrived fear now. People need to overcome that, I think, and realize that that our government is rogue. It's a mafia state. It's controlled by what Preston James called the International Zionist Criminal Syndicate. It is a mafia state where you have Masons and top military people and the mafia in control of government. And, you know, the Jeffrey Epstein scandal, very typical. How do you control congressmen? Well, you get them in compromising situations, and then when it comes time to control them, you say, vote this way or we're going to expose what you did, you know, on the Lolita Express or whatever, you know.
Yeah, and I believe you're right. I believe that every politician in the Western world that has made it to Parliament or to Congress or to the Senate, there is a filing cabinet. And it doesn't have to be about sexual crimes. It can be financial. There's so many things that people can be entrapped by. I totally agree with that. And therefore, it doesn't matter a damn whether in a year's time, whether Donald Trump, the incumbent, returns to the White House or whether it's a Democrat. It doesn't matter, does it, Eric? Not in the current system.
No. I think that you can make the case that the CIA has controlled all presidents since the 50s. And, of course, John F. Kennedy was a little out of control, and they knew what to do with him, you know. So, we are run by bureaucrats who are faceless and not elected, who I think are serving this high cabal, which is mafia Satanists. And so I do think, you know, the proper study of political man is the power elites, as A.K. Chesterton said, and that I have done quite a bit of study on that. I'll just give you one quote by one of the neocons. 25 to 30 Jewish neocons have run America for the last several decades. Here's Michael Ledeen, author of The Terror Master, War Against the Terror Masters. Of course, they always turn things around. He says, the Jewish neoconservative Michael Ledeen in 2007, creative destruction is our middle name, both without our own society and abroad, both within our own society and abroad. We tear down the old order every day, from business to science, literature, art, architecture, and cinema, to politics and the law. Our enemies always hated this whirlwind of energy and creativity which menaces their traditions, whatever they may be, and shames them for their inability to keep pace. Seeing America undo traditional societies, they fear us, for they do not wish to be undone. They cannot feel secure so long as we are there, for our very existence, not our politics, threatens their legitimacy. They must attack us in order to survive, just as we must destroy them to advance our historic mission.
That's
if
a
you
very,
start reading,
yeah, it's powerful.
Richie,
yeah.
You will find about this historic mission. And here's René Grus, Le Nouveau Mercure, Paris, 1917. There is a Jewish conspiracy against all nations. It occupies almost everywhere the avenues of power, a double assault of Jewish revolution and Jewish finance, revolution and finance. I have scads of quotes like this, Richie, from the horse's mouth, you know.
And you know something, Eric? I don't agree with those guys. It's not a Jewish conspiracy. And again, I don't fear anybody. I have nothing to fear here. My program has been under attack by the Zionist lobby in the UK for some time, despite the fact that I've always differentiated and continue to do so. For me, there is no Jewish plot, and I don't understand why such learned men continue to claim that there is a Jewish plot. Jews are a minority in most countries. I live very close to areas here in Greater Manchester where there are Jewish people, and they are no better off, no worse off than anybody else. They're working class stiffs that go to work every day of the week. I believe a lot of this stuff is run by a very small group of people who have used their perceived Jewishness to hide what it is that they do from the rest of the world, because Jews have become a protected group since the end of the Second World War. I think it's incredibly malevolent. And the people that suffer from that are Jewish people, because Jewish people are like, we're sick to death of being blamed for, you know, agendas and trying to bring down the world order. Jesus Christ, Richie, I live in Prestwich in Manchester. I'm a Jew. It's got nothing to do with us. And they're right. That's what I believe in. It is my genuine belief. And I've come to that conclusion by myself. I'm influenced by nobody. These bastards pretend to be Jewish because Jews are a protected minority group. They're not Jewish. Zionist is a different thing entirely. And that's what they've... That's just my opinion, Eric. I'm not kind of splitting hairs with you, but that's my opinion. Because there will be Jews listening to this programme going, I'm fed up with Jews getting blamed for everything. It's not our fault.
Yeah, okay. Well, this is a kind of an important discussion. I don't guess we're going to resolve it because...
Not tonight, anyway. No.
But I think it's good to draw out the different possibilities.
Hey, listen, Eric. I will give you the final word, of course, and I'm going to finish the program with another one of your excellent songs. Listen, for me, let's call out the lobby in the UK and in the United States of America. It is parasitic, the Zionist Israeli lobby, in terms of the control that it wields in this country and in the United States. There's no doubt about that. It is rotten to the core. But I make a strong distinction between that gang of thieves and criminals and ordinary Jewish men and women who go to the synagogue. That is their Jewishness. They believe in their God. But anyway, as you said, we could be here all day. What's more important is the work that you're doing on gang stalking, which is exceptional. People go to Eric's website. I'll tweet a link out to it. We're going to finish with one of Eric's songs in a moment. And the work on the directed energy weapons is vitally important as well. I always enjoy speaking with you. Just before we close out the program, we've got about 3 minutes before we've got to play out with another one of your songs. I'll give you the final word on the program today. Gang stalking, you're contacted by targeted individuals all the time. Is it something, Eric, that is constantly on the increase? Are you hearing from more and more and more people all the time?
Yes, and certainly I am, but there's also a question about which of the TIs is genuine and which is perhaps a fake TI or a perp or a perpetrator. And so you're in a world now, as I sometimes say, of spies, lies, setups, and psyops. There's an enormous psychological operation component to this. And so, you know, again, my academic background might be a little bit of an advantage. I'm used to kind of sifting through you know, a lot of different arguments to try to find what the kernel of truth is. But you're deliberately placed in a very, very confusing world. And, you know, I get to the point where I think that this so-and-so who emailed me and then gave me a testimony, which I just put on my website this morning, it sounds very legitimate to me based on what I've heard. Whereas, you know, maybe one or two or three others might not be. We're dealing with intelligence world stuff here. You know, the CIA, the NSA, the 17 other intelligence agencies in the United States. But they've also now farmed this out to thousands of private security firms, which are run by ex-CIA and ex-FBI personnel, and they're cashing in now. They're double-dipping because they're getting retirement from Uncle Sam for working 20, 25 years, and they're making much more money now in private consulting firms in this, what I'm calling, national security racketeering network, which I think is the largest black operation and black market operation in the history of the world now. They're cashing in. And all you have to do to cash in is identify people in the population who are now classified as terrorists or domestic enemies or enemy noncombatants, whatever you want to call them, subversives, dissidents, whatever. And the ruling elite love this because they don't want people questioning their criminal activity. And a lot of people are on the take in the middle sectors and certainly in the lower sectors of society. So we've weaponized, criminalized, and satanized large segments of the population. What I'm trying to get to is the middle segment of the population that is still unaware, because there's a lot of good people who I think if they understood what was going on, they would not support it, and they might do something to try to stop it, realizing that this has the potential to destroy civil society entirely, and just bring down the whole society.
And bring it all down. We've just about run out of time. Thanks so much for sending me the music, by the way. It was such a pleasant surprise, it really was. It was out of the blue, really. And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, oh, here we go. He's going to expect me to. Well, you know, I thought he's going to expect me to play this stuff now. And if it's not any good, how am I going to get around it? And but it is, and I'm so glad, because if it wasn't, I wouldn't say anything. I believe in being honest. You can find Eric at gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com, gangstalkingmindcontrolcults.com, or globalgestapo.com, and you can read about the technology. You can. As I said, it's chronicled how they've been doing this for so long, where we've gotten to today. It's great to have an academic talking about these things. Nobody's telling you what to think. Just go and have a look at it and make your own mind up. Eric, because I love the song, I've got lined up to close the programme. I've got Mama Don't Allow. So I'm first of all going to thank my first guest. So thanks to Posey Parker for coming back on the Richie Allen Show. Brilliant discussion with Posey in the first hour. You've just been listening to Eric Carlstrom. Great to have Eric back on the programme. We've got Mama Don't Allow lined up. I'm going to allow you introduce the song, Eric, and close out the programme today. Tell us about the song and we'll play it as you chat about it.
Yeah, I just love bluegrass and I play banjo and guitar, and it seemed to me this would be a good vehicle to get some of these ideas across. So, yeah, it's kind of fun, but at the same time, if you listen to the words, it's a little bit thought-provoking and hopefully might get people riled up enough to take some action.
This is Mama Don't Allow by Eric Carlstrom. Eric, thanks for coming back on the program. Lovely to have
you
on.
Rich.
All the very best, and we'll speak real soon.
Hey, Mama, don't allow no gang stalking around here.
It's unconstitutional.
Mama, don't allow no gang stalking around here.
It's murder and it's a felony.
We perps don't care what Mama don't allow. We're gonna keep on gang stalking anyhow. Mama, don't allow no gang stalking around here. And Mama, don't allow no neighborhood snitching around here.
A snitch is a rat.
Mama, don't allow no lies and slandering around here.
You work for the father of lies.
Neighborhood watch don't care what Mama don't allow. They're gonna keep on snitching and slandering anyhow. Mama, don't allow no neighborhood snitching around here. Constitution don't allow no terrorism watch lists around here.
The Constitution is still the law of the land.
Constitution don't allow no terrorism watch lists around here.
Does anybody care?
Uncle Scam don't care. What mama don't allow, he gonna keep those secret killers anyhow. Constitution don't allow no terrorism watch lists around here. Mama don't allow no fusion centers around here.
DHS has over 78 of them.
Mama don't allow no joint terrorism task forces either.
These are run by the FBI.
DHS and FBI don't care what mama don't allow. They're gonna blacklist civilians anyhow. Mama don't allow no fusion centers around here. Street theater around
These
here.
These are carefully crafted psychological
Mama
attacks.
Don't allow no gaslighting around here.
Designed by professional psychologists.
POD don't care what mama don't allow. They're gonna run psyops on civilians anyhow. Mama don't allow no street theater around here. Well, mama don't allow no electronic zapping around here.
They're called non-lethal weapons.
Mama don't allow no acoustic weapons zapping around here.
But they can be very lethal.
Infraguard don't care what mama don't allow. They're gonna keep on zapping anyhow. Mama don't allow no electronic zapping around here. Well, mama don't allow no no-touch torture around here.
The CIA invented it.
Mama don't allow no no-touch murder around here.
Oh, well.
CIA don't care what mama don't allow. They're gonna neutralize truth tellers anyhow. Mama don't allow no no-touch torture around here. Mama don't allow no Phoenix program around here.
Secret torture and murder of innocent
civilians. Mama don't allow no rendition centers around here.
It's terrorism of targeted individuals.
CIA don't care what mama don't allow. They're gonna no-touch torture folks anyhow. Mama don't allow no Phoenix program around here.